Today's shiur, Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Beis. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Lamed Beis, we notice the beginning of the fourth Perek of Maseches Sanhedrin. Echod dine momenos ve'echod dine nefoshos. Bedrisha ubechakira. Both financial cases and capital cases are treated through drisha ubechakira. The witnesses are subjected to this form of cross-examination. These are questions that focus on time and place. Shenemar mishpat echod yeh lochem. That one rule of justice shall cover all of your situations, financial and capital. Ma bein dine momenus l'dine nefoshos. So what are the differences between financial cases versus capital cases? And as we go on in the Mishnah, you'll notice the use of a double underline, which is explained in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the topic and structural note. Hevdelim bein dine momenus l'dine nefoshos. Every time you see the Dine Momenos double underline, indicates a new point of difference. And for your reading ease, we've also added a dashed underline under the expression Dine Nefoshos. Dine Momenos, the Mishnah continues, Bishlosha. Cases of financial concern are judged by a court of 3 judges. The Dine Nefoshos be'esher Bishlosha. Capital cases by 23. Dine Momenos poschen bein l'schus bein l'choiva. Financial cases, the opening comment in the judicial discussion can be to the defense or to the obligation of the defendant. The dine nefashos poschen l'schus ve'ein poschen l'chova. Capital cases, however, must open only with defensive information to benefit the defendant. Dine momenus matin al pi echod bein l'schus bein l'chova. The final ruling, the verdict in cases of financial matters, are decided by a majority of 1. V'dinei nefashos matin al pi echod l'schus ve'al pi shnayim l'chova. However, capital cases, when issuing a verdict of innocence, the majority may be in fact a majority of 1. However, a verdict of guilt must be arrived at by a majority of no less than 2. Dine momenus machzirin bein l'schus bein l'chova. Financial cases, after a verdict is reached, can be that verdict can be undone, whether it be the undoing of whether the result of the undoing will result in innocence or guilt. Dine nefashos, the capital cases, however, machzirin l'schus, can be overturned only for the purpose of innocence. The ein machzir in l'chova. However, once a capital case has been judged innocent, it cannot be undone for guilt. Dine momenes hakol melamdin schus v'chova. In the cases of financial matters, even the talmidim, even the non-judges, rather the talmidim, the students that are located in the presence of the court while the case is taking place, they can offer explanations and reasoning, whether it be for the benefit or for the incrimination of the defendant. Dine nefashos hakol melamdin schus ve'ein hakol melamdin chova. When it comes to dine nefashos, capital cases, then everyone can serve to provide reasoning for the defense of the defendant, but not the opposite. Dine momenus hamalamid choivo malamid chus. Hamalamid chus malamid choivo. Rashi points out across from here, hamalamid choivo Dayan Shehitzchot Chilo Lahavi Rayas Lechova, the judge that initially was bringing proof for the guilt of the defendant, Yochel Lachzer Bo Velizkos, he can reverse his performance and bring rayas for innocence. And likewise, the other way around. However, dinei nefoshes hamalamed choiva malamed chus, avo hamalamed chus ein yochol lachzer ulamed choiva. In the case of capital cases, the judge who started bringing proof for guilt can turn around and bring proof for innocence. But if he started bringing proof for innocence, he cannot then turn around later and bring proof for guilt. Dinei momenus donin b'yoyim v'germin b'layla. Financial cases can start by day. They have to start by day, but they can be concluded even at night. Dinei nefoshes donin b'yoyim v'germin b'yoyim. Capital cases, though, are to be concluded only during the daytime. Dinei momenus germin b'yoyim bein l'schus bein l'chova. Financial cases can be judged within one day, even if the result is one of guilt. Dinei nefoshes gomrim bo b'yom l'schus u'b'yom shelachrov l'choiva. However, capital cases, if the verdict is one of innocence, the verdict can be reached the same day that the case started. However, if the verdict is going to be a verdict of guilt, it cannot. The issue of guilt cannot be. The verdict of guilt cannot be issued on the same day that the case started, but it must wait at least till the next day. Lefikach ein donin lo be'erev Shabbos v'lo be'erev Yom Tov. As a result of this, capital cases cannot begin on a Friday or the day before a Yom Tov, because in the event that a guilty verdict would be reached, it would have to take place only on Shabbos or on the Yom Tov, and courts do not sit in sessions on those days. Dinei momenus hatmeus v'taros maschilim min agodol. Financial cases and cases involving issues of purity and impurity start with the eldest, the greatest of the judges. Dinei nefoshes maschilim min hatzad. However, capital cases, the opening comments are made by the least of the judges present. Hakol ksherin lodun dinei momnes, v'ein hakol ksherin lodun dinei nefoshes, elokoinim levim v'israelim asin lekuhuna. As far as dinei momnes, financial cases, are concerned, the population able to serve as judges is much greater than the population suitable for serving as judges in cases of a capital nature. In those cases, the judges must be of fine genealogical repute. Rashi explains at the bottom, Hakol Ksherim, as far as Dinei Mamzer are concerned, Hakol Ksherim includes even a Mamzer. However, when it comes to Dinei Nefoshos, only people that are miyuchas, whether they be kohanim or levim or yisraelim, these are non kohanim levim, but they must be miyuchas, whereby their daughters will be able to marry a kohen. The opening of our Mishnah said that dinei momenos require drisha v'chakira, that the witnesses that appear in a financial case are subjected to questioning to establish their consistency in the realm of time and place. So the Gemara asks here, dinei momenos mibo inan drisha v'chakira, is that so? That they require to they're subjected to those questions? We now start a long question, a contradiction. The length of this question is indicated by the kuf that's encircled with the dashed vertical line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We present a Tanaic source which eventually will show us that matters of time and place do not figure when dealing with financial issues. The source begins, Shtar Shezmanoi Kosuv Be'echo B'Nisan B'Shmita. You have a loan document that's dated the 1st of Nisan, during the Shemitah year, one should be aware that loans that are extended are canceled by the passage of the Shemitah year. So here we have a loan document indicating that a loan was extended in the middle of the Shemitah year, in the month of Nisan. Ubou edim v'amru, heichatem edim ashtar zeh. Two other witnesses came and said to the witnesses, or regarding the witnesses that signed this document, and they said, "Valo b'yomim ploni imonu hayisim b'malkom ploni," that on Echad b'Nisan you were with us in a different place. Shtar kosher v'edov ksherin. We say that this document is okay, it's acceptable, and the witnesses are kosher as well, the witnesses that signed it. That even though we have all of the ingredients of Edim Zomimim over here, false witnesses based on the claim that they were located somewhere else at the time they were testifying, at the time the incident concerning which they testified, nevertheless, here we do not say that they are declared as Zomimim. Chayshinon Shema Ichuruhu V'kosvuhu. We're choshesh that they simply wrote in a later date than the time the actual loan took place. If one were to think that in financial matters, questions of drisha v'chakira nature are posed to the witnesses, that means that witnesses have to answer to questions of time and place and be on the mark. Then how could it be offered that, as this source said, that we suspect Shemo Ichru v'kisru, that maybe they wrote a date that is that was delayed with regard to the time the actual loan took place. At this point, it's noteworthy that the main question has been asked. We now encounter a bracketed section, and this will be dealing with a technical question of why is it that the Gemara raised a question on the opening of the Mishnah from a Tanaic source known as a Braisa, when the Gemara could have raised a question on the opening of our Mishnah from another Mishnah, and a question from a Mishnah on a Mishnah is viewed as a stronger type of question than that which is raised from a Braisa on the Mishnah. Nevertheless, this is a technical issue, and at the end of the bracketed section, as you can see from the length marker of this bracketed section, the length marker, we're referring to the dash dotted line that you find to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. At the end of that marker, you find in the opposite that point in the Gemara, Mikol Mokom Kashya, the original question remains, namely, how can you say that questions of time and place are posed to witnesses in financial matters when we see that that there is some flexibility with regard to those concerns from other sources? After that, the Gemara will present resolutions, as will be represented by the diamonds that will be following in the Gemara. That having been said, let us now turn to the bracketed section itself and see what is bothering the Gemara. Ulitameich, according to you, that you're asking from this Braisa, which was started with the words Shtar Shizmano Kosuv, and you're asking from that source on our Mishnah, namely from this source, this Braisa source that shows you that in financial matters we don't require consistency or precision with regard to time and place. Tikshi loch masnisen. There's a Tanaic source, a Mishnah source, not a Braisa source, but a Mishnah source that would also pose a similar question. What does the Mishnah source say? It says, Shtorei choiv hamukdomim psulim. Documents of loan that are predated. In other words, where a loan took place on a given date, but an earlier date is written in, those are posel, those are unacceptable. However, loan documents that are post-dated, namely, if a loan took place at the beginning of the month, and the date that was written in was a date in the middle of the month, those are acceptable. If it were thought that witnesses dealing with financial cases have to be precise with regard to time and place, how can you say that a post-dated document is acceptable by virtue of the fact that it's that the loan took place on a given day and the date written in doesn't match the time the loan actually took place? We see an inconsistency, and yet it's acceptable. Ha lo kasha. This particular question, namely, why the question was raised from the Braisa and not from this Mishnah, is not really a difficult point. The adifa mino ka'amrinan. The Braisa has information that has greater novelty value. In other words, there's a bigger chiddush in the Braisa case than that which we would have seen in the Mishnah. And what's that? The Braisa case featured a date that looked very suspicious. In other words, a date indicating that a loan took place during the middle of the Shemitah year. The afilu echad b'nisan b'shemitah. Even with a date like that, namely the date first of Nisan in the middle of the Shemitah year, the lo shchichi inshi de mosvi, it's very uncommon for people to extend loans during a Shemitah year because there's a fear that the end of the Shemitah year is rapidly approaching and they may lose the opportunity to collect their loans. People would not extend loans during a Shemitah year. The leko lemeimar shemo ichruhu v'kisvu, it's very unlikely that such a phenomenon would take place where the date was really a post-dated time. And why is that? Why is it unlikely that it would be post-dated? The lo meira lishtari, a person wouldn't want to weaken his document, weaken his opportunity of collecting the debt. Afilu hachi, even so, kevan deshvius soifa mishametis, since by letter of the law, it's only upon the conclusion of the Shemitah year, which is at the end of Elul, the beginning of Tishrei, namely 6 months after the date in this shtar, machshiminon, we still will rule this particular shtar to be kosher. Once again, since the loan itself is still collectible, it is cancelled only at the end of the Shemitah year, not in Nisan. The fact that a Nisan date appears is sufficient grounds for us to say that maybe it was post-dated, and this date happened to be written in, and the lender still has hope of collecting his loan. He still has another few months. Mikol mokom kashya, but the original question remains, namely, how can our Mishnah say that dine momonos, that in financial cases, witnesses must be exact with regard to time and place, by virtue of the fact that they are subjected to questions of drisha v'chakira, when you see from the source, this Braisa, and we also saw from the Mishnah as well, that the Gemara raised in the bracketed section, that we're not so interested, we're not so concerned with precision with regard to timing when it comes to financial matters. Simen Harpash. This represents a Rosh Tevos, initials of the names of Shitas that we will see in the upcoming Gemara that address this particular issue. The note on the outside margin, we have a nosei mivneh, shalosha tirutzim, three answers, liyashev stiro bein mishnoseinu v'abraisa, to resolve the seeming contradiction between our Mishnah and the other Tanaic source, b'inyan tzorech l'drisha v'chakira b'dinei momentos, regarding the need for drisha v'chakira type questions in the realm of financial matters. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Devar Torah, Echad Dinei Momonos VeEchad Dinei Nefashos VeDrisha VeChakira Shenemar Mishpat Echad Yelachem. As far as the Torah is concerned, as far as Torah level, the Raisa is concerned, financial matters are just like capital cases, and there must be precision with regard to time and place. As the Pasuk indicates, one rule of justice for all of you. So why is it that it has been ruled that financial matters do not have, the witnesses are not subject to questions of drisha v'hakira nature, time and place type questions, kedei shelo tinol delas b'fnei lovin, so as not to lock the opportunity of borrowers who are seeking funds to receive loans. Before we explain that a little bit more, let's just point out then that the Mishnah that said echad dinei momonos v'echad dinei nefashos, that they're treated the same and they both topics are covered by drisha v'chakira, that's the Torah law. The Brisa represents a later rabbinic ruling which relaxed that necessity. The explanation for that relaxation is, as the Gemara said, kedei shelo tinol delas b'fnei lovin. If you knew that you had intention of extending a loan, but were fearful in getting the money back, why would one be fearful in getting his money back? It may be because he has witnesses that see the loan take place, and eventually when time came to lay claim on the loan and the witnesses were brought forth, they might mess up, so to speak, with regard to questions posed to them regarding time and place. And even though they maybe their mess up is out of innocence, out of mere forgetfulness, if they don't answer those questions, we'll throw them out and the lender won't be able to collect his funds. So as to give, if the lender won't collect his funds, he'll in the future not want to extend loans. And in the big picture, people seeking loans won't have funds made available to them. So as to encourage people to extend loans, we tell them, listen, the witnesses that will serve your benefit will not be subjected to this intense questioning of time and place, and hence the issue of them messing up on that will never arise, and you'll be able to collect your funds with greater ease. Elo me'ato, if that be the case, to'u lo yishamu. If we see that with regard to dine momenos, we have a relaxation in the level of concern for detail in order to provide for loans for the public. There should also be an allowance for the case of a beis din that makes a mistake in dine momenos, that they should not have to compensate the wronged party. Rashi explains on the top, to beis din b'dinei momonos lo yishamu. If they make a mistake in their ruling, they should not have to compensate the wrong party. V'dilmo yishafkesu lidrosh v'lachkor, it could be that had we allowed the court to cross-examine the witnesses with regard to time and place, have a revocha lemilsa v'lo havuto, it would have shed more light on the case, and the basin would not have erred. So by the fact that we're tying the hands of beis din, we should also have an allowance for the beis din that if they should make a mistake, they shouldn't be obligated to compensate. The Gemara says, if you do not obligate the beis din to compensate, then kol shekein shetinol delas b'fnei lovin, and you're all the more going to lock out loan seekers from receiving their funds. People who have money to offer as loan to lend out, if they know that the court makes a mistake, they won't get compensation. So people say, I'm not going to loan money in the first place. Rava Omar, notice Rava has a diamond, and he's labeled as number 2 in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos. He's a second resolution between the issue of Drisha v'Chakira seemingly as a requirement in Dinei Momonos and the Braisa that said it's not required. Rava Omar, Masnisen Dehacha, B'Dinei Knosos. Our Mishnah that says you require Drisha v'Chakira is dealing with Knas type matters. Though it's in the realm of finance, it's not in the realm of loans. The idach, the other sources which seem to indicate you don't have to have drisha v'chakira, those are behoidos v'halvos. Those are cases involving admissions of debt and collections of loans. And as we said, in those cases, we have a relaxation. However, in Dine Knossos, for example, those are cases involving kefel payment, double payment in the case of theft, or other types of knas payments, where we don't have the consideration of ni'ilas delas, of locking out loan seekers. Therefore, we can insist on the old ruling. And Rashi points out that according to Rava, both sources, the Mishnah and the Braisa, are taught after the Takona of the Chachamim that we made reference to on Amud Aleph. This is the slight difference between Rava's approach and Rabbi Chanina's approach, where Rabbi Chanina presented the Mishnah as being pre-Rabbinic ruling and the Braisa being after the Rabbinic ruling. Rava saying both sources are after the Rabbinic ruling, but the Rabbinic ruling is not needed in the realm of Dine Knossos. Rav Papa Omar, the third approach, Idi V'idei Behodos Vavo. Behodo Vavo, both the Mishnah and the Braisa are dealing with loans. Kan Bedin Meruma, Kan Bedin She'eno Meruma. Rashi explains the word Meruma, She Beisdin Makirin Batoveya Zeh Shu Ramoi. Beisdin knows that the person seeking out the funds is underhanded. O Mavinim Tainis Ramoi Bedvorov. Or they realize that there's some type of underhanded claim in what he is saying. In such a case, then we activate the Drisha V'Hakira, the intense cross-examination, so as to reveal his underhandedness. How, and that's the Mishnah. However, the second Kan Bedin Shein Ruma, if the case appears to be normal and no underhandedness, then we don't require the Drisha V'Hakira. Kedere Shlokish. This resolution of Rav Papa is based on an insight of Reish Lakish. The Reish Lakish Romi, Reish Lakish raises a seeming inconsistency in Psukim. Ksiv betzedek tishbor amisecha, uksiv tzedek tzedek tirdoif. Looking at Rashi, Rashi says betzedek tishbor, velo ksiv betzedek tzedek, lahazir based in the dakdik bo kol kach l'drush v'lachkor. From Rashi, you see that with the double expression, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, that implies that Beis Din must pursue thorough investigation through the Drisha V'Hakira questioning. The first pasuk, betzedek tishbor amisecha, being that it doesn't have the double wording, there is no necessity for Drisha V'Hakira. So how do you resolve these two psukim? Ha, ketzan, kan bedin meruma, kan bedin sheina meruma. So Reish Lakish resolves the two psukim just like Rav Papa resolved the two sources. And we said Rav Papa's approach was based on Reish Lakish. The pasuk indicating that you need the Drisha V'Hakira, that's because it was Din Meruma. There seemed to be underhandedness involved. Rav Ashi Omar Masnisin Kiddushonin. Rav Ashi is not labeled as number four because he is accepting the explanations that we saw before to resolve the contradiction between the Tanaic sources. So as far as the resolution of the sources, which we labeled with our diamonds, Rav Ashi would agree with one of those earlier sources. However, with regard to the two psukim, as we just presented under the name of Reish Lakish, Rav Ashi has a different take on that. Kroi, as far as the psukim are concerned, echod ledin ve'echod lepshora. In other words, the pasuk of tzedek, tzedek tirdof, the double expression, was not referring to the need for drisha v'hakira, but the double expression there was a reference to two types of court approaches, one of following letter of the law, din, and the other one of following pshora, of following compromise. And according to Rashi, the pasuk is telling us that courts should not pursue one method over the other, but rather each case should be judged on its own merits, how to pursue the case, to pursue it by letter of the law or to strive for compromise. This we can see in the Rashi Avol Kroi. Rashi says the Romilu Reish Lakish lo kashu. The contradiction that Reish Lakish raised in the Psukim is not a difficulty. It can be resolved differently. The tzedek tzedek lav ledrisha v'hakira asi. That pasuk is not dealing with a need for drisha v'hakira. Ela tzedek din shelcha v'tzedek pshara shelcha. Lefi ra'ois einecha. That pursue letter of the law and pursue compromise, which is not letter of law, but as its name implies, compromise, according to the way you see things. And don't pursue one over the other. In our markings, we strived for precision over here. We used a little 1 and 2 encircled. These are referring to the two approaches with regard to the psukim. We had the number 1 was the Reish Lakish approach in resolving the psukim, and the number 2 approach is that of Rav Ashi. It might be noted, technically speaking, that there was a simon that was offered at the beginning of this section of the Gemara that was found on the third line from the bottom of Amud Aleph, Harpash. The shin in that little abbreviation represented Rav Ashi, a fourth rabbi in the list. However, we in our markings did not emphasize his name, because in our markings 1, 2, and 3, we were dealing with the different resolutions of the Tanaic sources. Rav Ashi entered this particular discussion only with regard to the inconsistency regarding the psukim, and that we featured with the markings through our numbering 1 and 2, number 2 being Rav Ashi's approach to that resolution. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source that opens with a support to Rav Ashi's approach with regard to the pasuk of Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, the double expression referring to two types of judicial approaches, one of letter of the law and one of compromise seeking. Before we go on with the Tanaic source itself, we want to take note of some of our geometric markings. The Nosei Mivneh, notice in the outside margin, the double underline will be emphasizing the opening that we'll see repeated here, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof. Drushos Tanoim al HaPosuk Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof. Different drushos, different expositions of Tanoim regarding this posuk. So the first source begins Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof. Echod ledin ve'echod lepshara. One tzedek is referring to letter of the law, and the other use of the word tzedek is referring to compromise seeking. Ketzad. The use of the triangle here will be to illustrate different examples of letter of the law and compromise. Shtei svinos ovros benahar upogu zeboze. Two boats that are sailing on a river, and they meet up with one another. Im oivros shteim, if there's enough room for the two boats to pass alongside each other, shteim let's say this a little bit more accurately. Once again, im oivros shteim shteim toivos, if the two boats attempt to pass simultaneously, one next to the other, they'll both sink because the passageway is too narrow. If, however, they pass one following the other, then they'll both pass because of the narrow passage. Similar situation with two camels that are ascending a mountain with a very narrow pass, and they meet up with one another. Im olu shnehem, shnehem noflim. If they both attempt to pass each other at the same time, they'll both fall. Bozeh acharzeh, if one gives right of way to the other, shnehem olin, then both will be successful in passing. Ho ketzad. How do we deal with a situation like this? We have two boats, or two camels, and there's a need to decide who goes first. Te'una v'sheina tuna, if one is laden and the other one is not laden, tidoche she'eino tuna mipnei tuna, then the non-laden animal gives right of way to the one with the load on it. Kroivo v'sheina kroivo, one is closer to its destination and the other one is further away, tidoche kroivo mipnei she'eino kroivo. We say that the one who is closer must yield to the one that is further away from his destination and let him go first. Hoyu shtehen kroivos shtehen rechoikos, if both are of equal distance, hateil pshora benem umalois sachar zu lezu. Then we strike the following compromise, that though we give the right of way to one, but he must offer financial compensation to the other that yielded to this one. So we see in this source the issue of letter of the law. That was featured in the Roman numeral number 1 of this section, that in, there are situations where there's a letter of the law to be pursued, and there are situations where compromise must be struck. Tanu Rabbanan, tzedek, tzedek tirdoif. Haloch achar beis din yofeh. The posuk is imploring upon us to pursue the finer court, the best court available. And the Gemara gives examples of those kinds of courts. Achar Rebbe Eliezer Lelud, achar Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai Livror Chayil. If you have, if you were living in the time of Rebbe Eliezer, so you would want to go to Lud to be have the case tried in Rebbe Eliezer's court. Or if you were living in Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai's time, you would want to go to a place called Bror Chayil. Since we mentioned this name Bror Chayil, the source, another source, continues in this in giving cases involving certain signs of simchis, and we will notice in one of the examples, Bror Chayil is mentioned, and we featured the term or the name Bror Chayil with a dotted underline so that you can see the association. The note on the outside margin features the diamond with the colored in top, simonim, different signs, lismochos shoinos, different happy events, shahoyu mishtamshim b'hem b'shas ha'gzeira, according to one of the meforshim over here, these signs were used at a time that the Gentiles issued rulings against public practices of Jewish festivity. So, in such a case, if you had, let's say, a bris mila, a circumcision ceremony, which is, generally speaking, a festive event with guests assembling to celebrate it, how would you announce it if you couldn't do these things publicly? And likewise, we'll see a mishte, which the Rabbeinu Hananel explains, a suda, a meal for the surrounding a wedding. Tana, Kol Rechayim, B'Borni. Borni is the name of a place. If one hears the sound of a grindstone in Borni, Shavua HaBen, Shavua HaBen. It's as if there's an announcement. The double expression is simply to echo a type of announcement that Shavua HaBen has arrived. Shavua HaBen, Meforshim says, a reference to a bris milah, which happens after a week since the child's birth, day 8. Or Haner, B'Vor Chayil, if candles are burning in that city, Bor Chayil, and the issue of candles, Rashi explains, if you have a singular candle by day or a multitude of candles at night, that is a simen that there's an announcement, Mishtesham, that a feast is taking place. And the Rabbeinu Hananel explains the Mishte is a reference to Sudas Hachnosas Kala. Tanu Rabbonan, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdov, Haloch Achar Chachomim liyeshiva. The Rashi says, Achar Chachomim liyeshiva, Beis Havad. The Beis Havad we've seen in a previous sukya, a reference to a place where Talmidei Chachomim were concentrated. Shesham Beisin Kavua. There was a fixed Beisin, like we saw before, Kagon Rebbe Lezer Balud, V'chein Kulam, Kol Echad V'lemakoma. We'll see now a long list of examples. So Tzedek Tzedek Tuvo tells us, implores upon us to pursue the finest bezdin available. Achar Rabbi Eliezer Lelud, Achar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Livro Chayil, Achar Rabbi Yeshua Lipkiin, Achar Rabbi Gamliel Liyavne, Achar Rabbi Akiva Libnei Brak, Achar Rabbi Masya Leromi, Achar Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion Lisichni, Achar Rabbi Yossi Letzipori, Achar Rabbi Yudo ben Besero Lenitzivin, Achar Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua LaGoilo. Rashi explains that Gola is a reference to the city of Pumpadisa in Bavel. It's called Gola because, which means exile, because the city of Pumpadisa was the Iker
the main city in Bavel, where there's the main Jewish community. Achar Rebbe, Rebbeis Shorim. Follow, try to go to Rebbe, who was located at Beis Shorim. Achar Chachomim, Lelishkas Hagosis. Chachomim, in this case, is a reference to the Sanhedrin, the original court in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, which was seated in the Lishkas Hagosis, which was an office located adjacent to the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash. Dinei Momenus Poschin V'chulei. Hechi Amrinan, what is meant by psicha l'schus? What is the Mishnah said that in Dinei Momenus we're poschen bein l'schus, bein l'chova? What does it mean to be poseach l'schus, an opening that serves to benefit the defendant? Before we go further, we'll take note of the geometric forms that we are now going to encounter. In this case, a series of house markings. In the outside margin, you notice the nosei mivneh. Sidra shel deois hechi poischin l'schus. This is a series of opinions how a case is opened for the defense of the defendant. Hechi amrinan Omar Rav Yehuda. Omar Rav Yehuda hechi amrinan lehu. Thusly we say to the witnesses, mi yemar kidekom risu. Who says that it is as you are saying? Let us take a look at Rashi. Hechi amrinan bepsichas zchus kashiyakablu edusan shel edim, when the court received the testimony of the witnesses, v'dorshum v'chokrum, and cross-examined them, uboyin lisavalitein, and after raising the questions of drisha v'chakira would most likely be and certainly in capital cases, and we saw different opinions above in our Gemara regarding certain financial cases as well. And now, after doing the drisha v'chakira questioning of the witnesses, they are going to start the judicial deliberations. Hechi amrinan lehu le'edim. What do we say at this point to the witnesses? Rashi goes on. Mi yemar kedekam risa. This was Rav Yehuda's approach. Shema be'etza bosa. Maybe you guys are scheming. V'zuhi psichas hatzola lozeh. And in a situation you have two defendants, by trying to challenge the witnesses, that in effect would be the defense for one of the parties by trying to mess up the challenging litigants' witnesses. The Gemara asks, by Ula asks, Amar Le Ula asks Rabbi Yehuda, V'ha chasminan lehu. If you say that to the witnesses, you're going to muzzle them up. The Rashi says, "Well, kachasmin alu chosmin anu spm." We're muzzling up their mouths. Kishonu machishim also. When we attempt to counter them, v'yachsu ben besochdei dibor, and they will retract what they're saying within the allowed time for retraction, which is known as toch kadei dibor. The Gemara, in response to Ula, says, well, that's not a problem. V'lechsimu, so let them be muzzled up. Milo Tanya, do we not have a source that indicates that we actually do things to have witnesses back out of whatever they're trying to say? We have the source that says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elezer Omer, Masina so'edim, mimokom lemokom. We have the witnesses walk from place to place to tire them out. Kadesha Titrav Daiton Fiyachsru Bohen, so as to cause them to be upset and back out of their testimony. So we see that there is an effort on the part of courts to make sure that witnesses are solid as rock, so that if there's any weakness in what they're trying to say, they'll back out. So the Gemara says this can't be used as a kasha on Ula. Me dummy. How can you compare this case of having the witnesses go back and forth to what Ula said? There, we're not confronting the witnesses directly. We're simply having them walk back and forth, pace from place to place, in the hope of maybe through that they'll on their own back out. But however, here with what Rav Yehuda is saying, where we challenge them up front, we're in effect pushing them off by force. We have a note that we've added
to the inside margin, you see that if they in fact were honest witnesses, we have on the other hand a need to be mekayim ubi'ar tahorami kirbecha, to destroy the evil from our midst. And by this, ubazesh anu doichem ho'edim, we've written on our note, by this that we're trying to push them away forcibly or with forcefully, lo nuchal chayev esanidam, we won't be able to rule guilty the one who needs to be ruled thusly. Continuing in the Gemara, Elo Omar Ula, Hochi Amrinan. Ula feels that this is what it means to be poisin b'schus. Yesh lecho edim lahazimam. We turn to the other defendant or other litigant and say, do you have witnesses that can mess these guys up through hazoma? Omar le rabo v'chi poisin b'schuso shelzeh shehi choyvaso shelzeh. Do we open up to defend the one at the expense of the other? In other words, by saying this, do you have witnesses to mess these witnesses up? True, we might be opening with defensive remarks to defend the person who's being challenged, who's being sought for payment, but at the same time, we'll end up indicting the witnesses. So the Gemara asks, Umi havi choyvaso? Is there in effect, by being poiseach b'schus in this fashion, the possibility that the witnesses would be ruled as zoymimim? That's not true. They wouldn't fall on the basis of hazoma. V'hotnan, ein edim zoymimim neherogin ad shigomer hadin. Witnesses are not ruled to be zoymimim until you reach the end of the judicial process. And here we're talking about a situation where we're challenging them at the beginning of the judicial process, and if they're found to be lying, they won't be ruled as zomimim. Hochi amina. This is what I meant to say, says Rabba. My question is like this: Ilu shosik hai ademigmar dine umaisi edim umazim lehu havile chavoso shelzeh. How could it be that if you have a situation where the defendant remains quiet until the case reaches its end, and then he brings the countering witnesses. If that happens, then in fact, the original witnesses will be found to be zomimim, and then they will have to pay the penalty, or if it's a capital case, they will have to die, because that's what they were trying to do to the defendant. And it doesn't seem reasonable that you are poseach bischus, that the opening of argument, the opening argument for the innocence of the defendant should be at the expense of the witnesses. Elo Marabo, Amrinon Le, Yesh Lecho Edim Lahakchishon. According to Rabba, the opening of Zchus, the opening of defense, can be, do you have witnesses to contradict them? Contradiction does not result in a punishment for the witnesses. In other words, if second set of witnesses contradicts the first set of witnesses, the case simply is removed, and the defendant is thereby spared. Rav Kahana Omar, the way we open up is as follows: Midivrechem nizdake ploni. From what you guys are saying, it seems like the defendant will be found innocent. Abaye v'Rovo the Amri Travaihu, they both say Amrinon le. Ilo katlis lo tidchal. The way we open up bischus is we say to the defendant, we say, listen, if you didn't commit the murder, you have nothing to fear. Rav Ashi Omar, his version of poslim bischus is kol mi shiodea lo zchus yavo v'yalameid olav. An announcement is made that anyone who knows defensive information that will serve to the defense of the defendant, let him come forth and say it. Tanyo kavose. The Abaye and Rava. We have a Tanaic source that supports the Abaye and Rava approach. Notice we've used a dashed underline to draw your attention to connect the source with what Abaye and Rava said before. Rebbe Omer, Imlo Shochav Ish Osoch, the Imlo Sotis. He opens up citing a pasuk from the Sota Parsha. Mikan Shepoischin Bedine Nefoshos Tchila Lizchus. Notice we have the dashed underline at the top line of Lamed Gimel, the words Poitzchim L'schus, and Rashi points out, Umidi Yolef, at the top of the page, Rashi says, Bikan Shepoitzchim, Umidi Yolef, Psichas Haschus Mehocha, from the fact that we learn the opening of a defensive comment from here, Hainu, Ilo Katlis Lo Titchal, that's the same thing as saying, if Just like in the Pasuk it says, if you didn't behave immorally, so too here we're saying, if you did not kill, you have nothing to worry about. That's Ke'abaye V'Rava. In other words, the Pasuk reflects the same type of opening as Abaye and Rava suggested. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.